This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money. That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. Thanks for watching today on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll go over how many coaches will be fired before the Super Bowl, odds on that, and next Giants and Titans head coach. Bottom of the hour, Monday Night Football. Is McVay going to game plan to get Matthew Stafford the MVP? We'll kick that around, and our in-pocket plays coming up in about 45 minutes. I know that you have some very important questions, Pauly, that you are looking forward to getting the answers from for the playoffs.
All right. Question number one, the level of concern with Bo Nix and the Broncos being the one seed. As Warren Sharp just said and tweeted out, they played the third easiest schedule of quarterbacks. Now with the one seed on the line, they draw Trey Lance. They have played down the level of competition time and time and time again. Boat raced at home by Jacksonville. All of a sudden, what's happened to this defense? And some really bad performances. Can Bo Nix put it together three games in a row?
That seems a little unlikely. I think he could have probably like 1.5 to 2 good games. And then when are they going to come? Like if they make the Super Bowl and he has a stink bomb, could he play well in the Super Bowl? Maybe. But to expect to get three good games out of him, I think, in January, then the biggest game of all, that's a lot to ask. And then you also have to tell yourself that, oh, by the way, the defense is going to have to play out of their minds pretty much in all three of these games. And, like, I am a little concerned about some of the games on their schedule. Like, they should have lost to the Jets. Look at how we're mocking them right now.
Jets,
right?
Giants.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. That was a miracle.
The Raider game was 10-7. They missed a field goal. The Washington game, the Titans were living off turnovers in Denver territory all game and Cam Ward's first start. That would have took out almost half the survivor field right off the bat.
It did not go well for the first, 2.5 quarters against the Packers offense. And this is a team that got lambasted by the Jags just week 16.
So, ugly. No doubt. Ugly. What's happened to this defense? Yes. Could have lost to Kansas City on Christmas.
So if the Bills are the 7... and they win their first game, let's say it's them against the Patriots. They go to Foxborough, they win that game.
Oh, God. How about that path now?
Oh, I know.
That's another question. Like, Allen's going to have to maybe go New England, Denver, and then whoever in the AFC title game.
Well, I mean, but what would you think of Josh Allen if that team is as healthy as possible going to Denver? They can, the Bills could absolutely win that football game. And they'll probably be a small favorite in it, in fact. Bills have a high power rating.
I don't know. Yeah,
we saw them get bet up from a pick to 3 yesterday, minus 15 cents.
Defense is terrible. So many injuries. That's the other thing. This is a war of attrition. We haven't had chaos since 2009, Arizona, Pittsburgh. But this is also could come down to who's healthy and who wins and advances, but also does it without getting hurt.
Just hope to God that we don't have a ton of star players get hurt from now until the end of the playoffs, you know?
Can you trust Sam Darnold to do it three games in a row?
Oh, I trust Bo Nix more.
Okay. If Seattle wins Saturday, they're the one seed. 28 turnovers. Second most in the league. Horrible job in the game against Bryce Young. Silly turnovers. Should have ran away with it. Running game was there, though. And he had a nice touchdown throw to Barter. But can Sam Darnold can he do it Saturday and then extend it where who knows? They might draw the Rams right out of the bat in the divisional round again.
Certainly they could. They could also get the Packers potentially, or they could get the Bears. No, that would be actually an NFC title game. But if the Packers were to upset either the Bears or the Eagles in that 7-2 matchup, the Packers would go there and they're resting guys this week against the Minnesota Vikings. Would you think the Packers could be a team, despite all their injuries, that could throw a scare into Seattle?
Yeah, absolutely. They have a ton of talent. Yeah. Look how they played against Baltimore. Now, I'm concerned about the defense.
That was
Swiss cheese what happened against Baltimore in the Denver game.
Think about this. Now, they were gashed on the ground against Baltimore. Seattle,
right.
I mean, Charbonnet got it going for the Seahawks against Carolina. Do you trust their running game against the Packers defense? I don't trust Darnold against any of these guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Got to prove it. Can May play Superman and carry the Patriots to the all the way to the Super Bowl in his second year.
Well,
they have played the easiest schedule of quarterbacks, and they only have two wins against teams with a winning record. Can he keep this up like he did in the second half against the Ravens, like he did against the Jets, and playing at an MVP level and take the Patriots to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I say yes, because this dude has all the makings of one of the next superstar quarterbacks in this league. He plays like effortlessly. He's got maybe the prettiest deep ball in the league right now, prettiest pass maybe overall in the league.
Stop playing in the Bills game, right? They just shut it. They're up 24-7. They got comfortable.
Yeah.
Should have won that.
Things break down. Scrambling ability can get there. I would actually be a little bit more concerned about the defense.
Yes.
Going
pass rush.
Yeah. And once they actually take on better competition, is he going to have to suddenly turn into like beating teams in a shootout?
Okay.
That would be my concern, because
I think the Chargers can hang if that's the 7-2 matchup.
Oh, so do I. Yeah. Herbert's awesome.
Herbert could be comfortable there and hit his weapons. Look at that. Put that up again, guys. They're up 24-7 in the third quarter against the Bills. So you mean to tell me they'd be on this 13-game winning streak?
Yeah.
Look at that. That's the only loss going back since that Pittsburgh debacle when they had 5 turnovers. What a job. Okay. Sitting there lurking. How dangerous are the Baltimore Ravens? Is this don't let us get in? Watch out. You'll regret it. If we go into Pittsburgh and win, we have enough talent, and this is the year we finally do it and get over the hump with Lamar Jackson? Or is it, this is your record for a reason and I can't trust you?
I don't know how much I can trust them. I'd like to say that they're kind of in the same boat as Josh Allen and the Bills. Like,
what if I tell you I'm giving the ball to Henry 25 times? Well,
that's the total unknown, though, right?
Yes, I know.
Right? So this again, in theory, again, go back to before week one, highest power rated team in the league by me and many other people, obviously, right? And my numbers don't mean anything compared to everybody else who does this. But Baltimore, they were that high. So if they got in theory, with no Patrick Mahomes, this could be the year. But also, look at some of the teams that they're going to have to take on. I know Houston's offense has question marks across the board, but their defense is phenomenal, right? Can Baltimore, where does Baltimore sit right now compared to Jacksonville? I think Jacksonville is easily better than Baltimore right now. Easily better. Jacksonville has a lot of really good wins on their schedule this year. That's a team I think is scary good in the AFC. But overall, it's pretty much wide open. And if you told me right now that Henry's going to get 25 carries a game, then I would tell you, it's probably going to go all right for them.
And then what percentage is Lamar playing at? Remember, Ira Kaufman a couple weeks ago said Baker's 60%. Mm-hmm. Well, what's this guy? He's 50-50 to play Sunday night. And then if they win, playing in the playoffs, what is he? Is he 70%? I mean, he's dealing with all this different stuff. And I just, number one, the odds that he takes a knee to the back and he's not protected, and then he's going to miss 2 games with a knee to the back, and I don't have him out there with Huntley, but at least Huntley can scramble. And he kept plays alive and drives alive with his feet. The thing that throws a wrench into all of this in the NFC is the Rams being potentially a 6 seed.
Well, why do you say that?
Because I think they're the best team.
Oh, so do I. I mean, their odds to win the Super Bowl are the lowest pretty much at every single sports book. They're the highest power-rated team in the league.
But they're going to then you'd have to go to Philly, and then maybe the path then becomes so difficult.
Well,
that's the same thing. I don't know. There are still people out there who just believe that the Bills are this great team, and I don't see it. But you might have Buffalo and the Rams as 6 seeds.
Right. So I will remind people that when the Rams won that Super Bowl a few years ago, they were the 5 seed. Remember where their path? They opened up by going to Tampa and Tom Brady and the champs, right?
I think it was Arizona first at home.
Was it? Then they
thought it was Arizona, and then they beat Brady.
Oh, was it the Kyler Murray turnover?
Underhanded. Yeah.
They went to Tampa Bay and beat Brady and company.
Yes.
And that they had a huge lead, 27-3. Brady came all the way back, tied it, and then Stafford hit Cooper Kupp for a huge gain, and they won that, and then they went out, and they beat the 49ers in the NFC title game. That year, the 49ers were absolutely loaded, but hello, they had injuries again that year. And then obviously hung on to beat the Bengals. So they did go on the road that year in the playoffs. This year, I think they could probably do the same thing.
But they all played the Eagles last year in the second half.
That was Kupp's magical year. Cooper Kupp kind of on that same kind of run right now. And once they get Devontae Adams back, but again, this team did it to themselves. They just,
they
you take away only one of those blown games and they be the one seed. So all they have to do is stare in the mirror and say, this is our fault.
You would take Jacksonville over Buffalo at home and feel good about it.
Oh, that's well, I wouldn't feel great about it, okay, because Allen can be unbelievable, yeah, obviously, but
Chargers aren't playing anybody. The Bills, I don't care who plays. The Bills should be able to roll over the Jets. Houston, Baltimore would be great. What if it's Houston?
That's a great game.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to go well for Aaron Rodgers if it's Houston against Pittsburgh.
It will not.
Oh, boy.
No, he'll get murdered.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because what's the game plan there? If they're going to single out Myles Garrett and say, we don't want him to get the record, how do you do that against a front that can, you can't do it against one guy for Houston.
And one more. Can Brock Purdy and the 49ers do this? Just outscore people. I'll say three. I'll count Saturday night because they get the one seed. Three games in a row.
I will say no.
The defense is going to, the injuries will come back to bite them.
Yes.
Yeah.
They made a case. I made a point to bring this up on the broadcast last night a couple times. They punted for the first time in 3 weeks last night. Couple that, right? Yes, but here's the thing. Yes. They couldn't force, yeah, Chicago into punting at all.
No. Wide open in the big plays they gave up.
No. They're super fun to watch, and Purdy's the man. They can't win every game 42-38. And by the way, if Warner, yeah, is to come back
for the NFC title game, yeah,
like, why, what do we expect out of him?
Yeah, well,
you know, I guess it could be a boost, B12 shot in the,
yeah,
arm.
Yeah.
Right up next, can I tell you my reason here? We've lost our minds as a football society with a 2-point play. And we'll go over how many coaches will be fired before the Super Bowl. We have odds on that and odds for the next Giants and Titans head coach coming up on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. We have odds on how many coaches are going to get fired before the Super Bowl. How many first-year coaches? Will any playoff coach get fired before the Super Bowl? Giants, Titans as well. Let me take 1 minute here and talk about that the two-point conversion attempt and that decision yesterday in the Bills-Eagles game. We haven't talked about that yet. Locally here in Las Vegas, this is before VSiN existed, I was making the case on my radio show that I'm okay. This is good. This goes back almost 15 years ago. I'm okay if a coach wanted to go for two every single time. Like if you had the right scheme, the right play caller, and just if you had an edge there to get it, and it's about a 50-50 proposition anyway, maybe you could turn that into like 60-40 if you're good enough at it. So I've been pro two-point conversion for a long time, but not every two-point conversion attempt or decision is created equally. And I saw a lot of reaction yesterday where a majority of people, and I saw like Twitter polls out this, and it was a majority of people, like 80% of people, 70% of people saying, yeah, you absolutely go for two. And I just think that we've lost our mind as a society where you automatically think that. Here's the reason why I'm saying this, and I don't think it was automatic that the Bills had to go for two. Now, if Josh Allen's foot injury played into that, and he had an x-ray after the game, then I get it. Like, they don't want to have him go out there and get injured. The playoffs are right around the corner. And then I understand. Go for two, get the game over with. Also, keep in mind, a tie does Buffalo no good. Because if they tied the Eagles yesterday, the division was going to be the Patriots. So they needed to win. However, the Eagles had, 17 yards in the second half?
Yeah.
Yesterday, it was three and out the entire time.
One first down.
Jalen Hurts completed zero passes in the second half.
Yeah.
Offense could not do anything. For the first time in weeks, the Bills defense stood on their heads, right? And they were awesome when they had to be to keep them in the game down 13-0. And now this goes from mid-third quarter to the end of the game. The Bills put together a 65-yard drive down to the Eagles 3 that resulted in a turnover on downs when Josh Allen ran the ball and he was a little bit short. Then they put together back-to-back touchdown drives, 154 yards over 6 minutes, The other one was 83 yards in 3.5 minutes for another TD. So you couple that all together. Eagles couldn't get an inch on offense, couldn't complete a pass. Defense probably gassed on the field for countless plays in a row and allowed this team over the span of about 10 minutes to go 140 yards and score 2 touchdowns. If you go to overtime, you are clearly the favorites to win the game in that spot.
I'm risking injury. Good points, though. Also, got him wide open. Allen made a horrible throw.
That's true.
And I also worry about, could I kick a field goal? I'm on my fourth kicker, and the Eagles are so good at blocking kicks, getting the paw up there, Carter, and blocking the extra point.
Well, I was going to say,
there's another scenario.
I must
too.
Point out that kicking the extra point's not automatic.
Mm-hmm.
I must acknowledge that. It's not.
Yeah.
But if you just ask anybody, like any situation, no, you go for two. Absolutely, of course. No, you don't. That's my point. Not every single time do you have to go for two. It's based on game flow and what's happening exactly. Did you have any confidence in the Eagles getting any offense in the overtime if they went there? How could you? Unless there's going to be a big PI or something like that.
Yeah, I was concerned about Allen getting hurt, though.
So was I, and that's the biggest angle.
All over him. That was a great job defensively. Damn. Great props here. How many first-year coaches will be fired before the Super Bowl? A half.
I think it's going to be Aaron Glenn or Pete Carroll.
Are they safe?
Again,
Pete Carroll said he's had good conversations with Davis, but man, you go 2-5 or 2-15 and you fire your OC and special teams coach. Oh boy.
I don't know how Pete Carroll could possibly be safe. I think he's got to be a goner. I would restart again. But then again, this team will be paying how many coaches at the same time? 4?
Yeah, right.
So I don't know if you want to do that. And the other one, I mean, I guess Aaron Glenn has a vote of confidence. He got that like a month ago. And it's only gotten worse.
After we have a plan comment to the fan base. Okay, trust me. How many coaches will be fired before the Super Bowl? Over, under 3.5. Did McDaniel do enough here? They're 7-9. They've won 5 of 7.
Well, didn't he also get the dreaded vote of confidence?
No, he's going to have a new GM, though. I don't think so.
Would you whack him?
I would. Yep. I would start over. No Tua, no McDaniel, no Tyreek.
Here's my...
If they lose Sunday, Harbaugh's got to go.
Yeah, he's on my list for sure.
Yep.
Harbaugh's out.
He might go to the Giants. It's an interesting fit.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not even listed on odds to be the next Giants head coach. At an offshore book that has odds up.
Okay. Zach Taylor going to survive?
I would like to say no.
Stefanski will not.
You think he's a goner?
Yes.
And I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, he's had a bad year.
I disagree with that, but that's okay. I think it's an absolutely horrendous organization. They don't know how to get out of their own way.
There's a lot of candidates here.
So Glenn would be on the list, but I think he's okay. Harbaugh, absolutely, if they lose the game. Pete Carroll, I mean, come on. Your guy, Raheem Morris, should be gone. I think he's a disastrous head coach. Todd Bowles if they lose.
How about this? How about the Buccaneers win, but get boat raced in the playoff game?
Then you mean he's fired?
Still gone.
Well, will any playoff coach be fired? He's 3-1.
Will any playoff coach be fired? Mm-hmm. Yes. That's happened before, too.
Maybe that happens. Would he be the only guy then to make the playoffs that would get whacked?
No, that's happened.
No. I'm saying like this year.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
So I got Jonathan Gannon on the list as well.
Absolutely. Come on. I can't believe he's still there. They can't stop anything.
Right.
He's a defensive guy. They've lost 13 of 14 games.
Yeah. Is that enough to bet over 3.5? I don't think so, though.
No?
Because he got I think Raheem Morris should probably get fired, but probably not enough for me to make a bet on over 3.5. I think Pete Carroll should get fired, but...
Is Sean McDermott okay? 6 or 7 seed?
If you do
But they'll come back and say you went 12-5.
Yeah.
Assuming they beat the Jets. But what if they go? What if they get buried in their first playoff game?
Who would you like to get fired? Out of this entire list that you think is probably safe. I think Zach Taylor needs strong consideration here.
Yeah, it's enough already. You're killing Burrow. You're wasting all these years with Burrow. So bad.
There was also, they put up odds on Burrow's next team, by the way. Here, they have...
I'm more interested in Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson can happen, not
okay,
Burrow.
Okay, I got it. So
there's Lamar Jackson, there's drama going on about they're taking shots at him. Video games and work ethic, and he's always hurt and stuff like that. And this is getting interesting.
How about some of the stuff that was said about that guy?
Outrageous. I would lean Miami. What's Lamar Jackson to be a Dolphin?
5-1.
Okay.
Don't hate it. I kind of like that angle.
Yeah.
To the Raiders, that's the short shot. He's +250. Would Lamar want to come out and play here with a dumpster fire?
No way.
I don't think so either.
No way.
Same thing with the Cardinals. They're 3-1. Although, man, imagine him in that offense. Holy smokes, would that be on fire. In a good way. The Jets, 4-1. You just retire.
No.
The Falcons are 6-1.
Mm.
Would they kick the tires on that and punt on Michael Penix already?
They had their chance. Remember with all the nonsense with the owners?
I know that, yeah.
The collusion?
Yeah.
No. All those owners, they could have had him. They said no. They could have signed him. He was out there.
The Colts.
Problem is he doesn't have an agent, so it's a mess.
Colts are 9-1. Oh, my God. Give this to me right now. The Vikings are 12-1.
That'd be interesting.
I would. Yeah, sign me up for that.
Too. Giants' next head coach. Halfley's the favorite. How bad has Green Bay been down the stretch defensively? He's hurting his case.
Yeah, but factor in how many injuries, though. They have a ton.
Stop the run.
It's not just Micah Parsons, Paulie. It's been a ton of dudes out on defense.
Stop the run. They're giving the ball to Henry. Mike McCarthy, the second choice. You can take Marcus Freeman off the list. He's staying at Notre Dame. Clint Kubiak, 6-1.
Mike McCarthy should never get it. Come on.
No. Flores is going to get a look, though.
Yeah, he deserves one.
I agree. He's 12-1 to be the next Giants head coach.
Does that make sense?
That's when the Belichick text.
That's right.
He texted Brian Flores and not Brian Daboll.
Do you think that the Giants should go in the direction of defensive head coach or offensive head coach? They just had Brian Daboll.
Defense is horrendous, I know.
They might want to go defense and then hire a really good offensive coordinator.
I'll go with that. Yes. Joe Brady's 33-1.
Stefanski's 33, Kingsbury's 50.
How is Harbaugh not listed?
Yeah, maybe because he hasn't. Well, that's offshore, so they don't care.
They should put him up.
And the Titans' next head coach, Nagy, is +250.
Come on.
You're not hiring that guy.
No.
Not happening.
Same guy, and McCarthy.
This is just, they're going to plop guys up.
Yeah.
That could be
maybe Brady. I don't know. They're asking Kingsbury about rumors. He's a coordinator.
I think you're right.
I can't go Kingsbury.
Yep.
With another shot. Nope. We talk all the time about making smart bets, and smart advertisers are doing the same thing with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage, from premium podcast and connected TV to data-driven digital campaigns. They deliver a measurable ROI, and as Visa's exclusive ad partner, Mission Media gives you direct access to one of the most loyal, action-oriented sports audiences anywhere. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started now. VSiN.com/advertiser. Email advertising@VSiN.com. advertising@VSiN.com.
Monday Night Football next. Is Sean McVay going to try to get Matthew Stafford the MVP? And some high numbers tonight for Stafford and Nacua. VSiN.com says, I don't care.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So I was trying to read as much as possible on this Monday night game tonight. Various reasons, fantasy purposes, and also like MVP tickets. LA Times had a story. Good job by them actually asking McVay about this. They pointed out that he's a front runner, obviously, to win. And with a great performance tonight, could seal the deal. The question was written, will Stafford's situation influence McVay's play calling? They asked him about it. McVay said, quote, if you're saying, am I going to make a decision that I think would not be best for our team in that situation? No, I would never do that. The good thing is he's in the conversation because he's played great. That hasn't affected any of the decision-making. When he's doing his thing, that's good for our football team, and that's all he has to do is continue to play like that he's capable of. Usually those things have a way of working out if they're supposed to. So he made it a point to come out and say, I'm not going to, you know, obviously go get him the award tonight. But it doesn't, like, it just in the flow of the game, like last week, hey, here's 581 yards of offense. Stafford throws for 450 plus.
I think it's going to be a fun game, exciting game. I think some big props can cash in the fantasy implications as well. Number one, you got to look at Pitts, the rapport with Cousins.
Yeah.
And if he can close with a bang and how great he's been, 7 for 82 against the Jets, 6 for 90 against Seattle, 11 for 166 and 3 touchdowns against Tampa, and 7 for 57 and a score against Arizona. Think he gets 60 yards again tonight and can find the end zone as well? Think Bijan can eat? And I would expect a huge game out of Puka again. And this is not over for offensive player of the year as well. With down Adams and how much he looked at him in the Seattle game, which you got the tight end angle, but certainly Atlanta's good at...
They're elite against tight ends.
That's right. So then we throw out Parkinson. You got to look. Maybe it's even more Puka in this game. And it was a terrific breakdown from the guru earlier today. He likes Mumfield over as he's going to start at wide receiver for the Rams.
Little first touchdown action out of him.
You got that? Sure.
In this game?
Yeah. And how about, you know, and then Sills, you know, I don't know how many looks he's going to get, but he's BFFs with Cousins. And he had that huge game against Tampa and had the touchdown, but he dropped it. I don't know what he's trying to do with the catch. He's 60-1.
Oh, he's absolutely first touchdown of the game. I'm betting him tonight first touchdown.
You have to.
Have to, right?
They the rapport they have, and I think Sills maybe could do something, but I think it starts with Pitts and Robinson from Atlanta's standpoint with the props.
With Nacua, again, I'm glad that you mentioned no Adams because Nacua was a monster against Seattle. He had 16 targets in that game, 12 catches for 225 and 2 scores. In his last three games, Puka Nacua has had 38 targets. He's had 28 catches. And he's had way more than 500 yards to go along with 4 touchdowns. The Opta AI stats on the website, vsin.com. You can go there. Go to the website, vsin.com/NFL props. Go check it out. By the way, there's a search engine right there. You type in any player's name, pops up when you're on the correct stat for it. They are projecting Puka Nacua for, this is JSN numbers from earlier this year.
Yes.
They're projecting him for 118 yards tonight.
Yeah.
His prop is around 110.5 right now.
He's plus $1.15 for 120.
Oh, it's my God. That's
Jerry
just...
Rice stuff. Yeah.
But how many targets is he going to get?
Yeah, a ton.
Now, here's the thing. Atlanta is very good at individual tight ends. We saw that last week. Well, not with a group of tight ends because the backup tight end for the Cardinals had a good game, but they key on McBride and they shut him down.
Yeah, I would take it easy with Parkinson stuff.
But they also have three tight ends that they can throw at him tonight.
They can, yeah.
But would you be surprised here if Nacua is going to get 15 targets again?
No.
He can't
will.
Be.
No, he will. He'll lead. And he could be in store for two huge games to close the season.
I like, by the way, an hour ago when Warren Sharp was on, and you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast, wherever you get your podcast, I'm like, okay, is it going to be a big Stafford game explosion coming from Nacua, the running backs? He goes, well, we might get all of it. Basically, we've had all of it. Multiple games from the Rams this year.
So could this be like that Tampa-Atlanta game? Could it be like the game Saturday night in Lambeau? Because Robinson and Williams, 10 yards rushing each quarter is 15-1. 5 yards each quarter is 3-1.
I'm a little concerned.
Remember how well the Rams ran the ball against Seattle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they did. And they made it a point to come out and actually say, okay, we're going to manhandle your really good defensive front here. And they did that to begin that game. My one concern about that would be what happens if Corum comes in and spells Williams for too much out of one quarter and they split it up a little bit too much.
Yeah, that could happen. I still like the price, though.
What was it again?
But that was 5 yards is 3-1. 10 yards is 15-1.
15-1, yeah, okay. All right.
And maybe you can do Robinson stuff as well. I mean, again, everyone likes Robinson receiving over, which I don't have a problem with, as Kirk loves dumping the ball off to him.
Sure. Well, what about the combination, the rushing and receiving yards prop from Robinson? It's 121.5.
Okay.
Like, if he goes for, even if they shut him down to, let's say, you know, 70, 75 yards on the ground, there's an angle where he could absolutely clear his receiving yards prop, go over 50+, and then he can hit that one. Not that he would go over both of his rushing and receiving, but there's an angle there to go over, you know, the combined prop that he has. What do you think, by the way, about the money on Atlanta this week?
Well, yeah, a little bit is they've played well in primetime. This is, quote, their Super Bowl. And suddenly now the Rams can't win the division.
Mm-hmm.
So always organizations talk about seed. Fans talk about seed. I don't think that players care much about it. But it goes back to what Chow said with us. Dr. Chow yesterday on the tailgate show that, hey, the game plan is already in. They're already ready to go. The expectations were going to come out and give them a game and try to beat Jacksonville. That's why Rivers will play, even though they were eliminated with what happened the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they got bad news, can't win the division, but still you can improve your seed. I would still expect them to go out and fight on national TV in the final Monday night game.
Opta AI stats, they have Stafford going over. Now, by the way, money coming in on the under for his yards prop tonight, I'm seeing as low as 263.5. DK earlier today was at 270.5, but they're projecting 285.5 out of him tonight. Opta AI stats, and they also have Kirk Cousins going over by about 23 yards.
They've had some good performances here and there defensively. That job they did against Buffalo and Josh Allen was great. They held them to 14 points. They won that game. They held San Francisco to 20 in the Sunday night game. They were great against Minnesota on the Sunday night game. Nice win Thursday at Tampa when they were down big and it seemed their season was over. They should have beat the Colts in Germany. They blew that game. Scored 25 in that one. Poor job defensively, though. So in these standalone primetime games, they have delivered, at least, and look pretty good.
Don't we have to, by the way, kind of like ask the question about why Atlanta is no good?
Absolutely.
Again, I mentioned this. They are probably the best or the second best team against guarding tight ends the entire year. And I got a stat from our buddy Kevin Rogers. I'm trying to pull it up right now. I don't think they've allowed a rushing touchdown at home on the year.
You got swept by Carolina. Let's start there.
Sure.
You lost 30-0 at Carolina. You somehow let Bryce Young throw for 400 yards on you. That's, come on,
sure.
Raheem. That's unacceptable and embarrassing. It's the only good game he's had all season. You lost to the Jets. It's another one. And there were two punt returns or a kickoff and a punt return in a span of 5 minutes.
How do you,
in that game?
This is one of the teams at the very top of the list this year is so, like the Steelers, for example. How do you go out there and play like that against Detroit? And everything's on the line still for the Lions, and that you throw up that dud yesterday against Cleveland. The Falcons are the team that just like good luck trying to figure them out this year. Because as you said, some really good performances on the slate this year and some just absolute stink bombs that come out of nowhere, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the 30-0 shutout against Carolina is one of the weirdest games that you're going to see the entire year.
Yep. No doubt. You can also, again, Caesars has Puka catch every quarter. It's $1.05. Oh. I mean, I think he's involved early and often and the targets are there and he's priced like he's going to have 115 yards.
Yep. I guess the one way...
Does Atlanta have an 8-minute drive?
I was going to say, do they have a 15-minute drive to take away the entire quarter?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's going to get targets. I like the angle earlier from Sharp, by the way, bringing up Blake Corm's longest rush, 12.5.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's also on Kyren Williams, bet at high 50s over his rushing yards prop in the game.
Kramer? We got here from Kramer yet? All right. There's a lot of candidates for first touchdown. But I know you've met on this for years that Williams always scores, not always, but a lot of times scores the first touchdown for the Rams.
Well, without Devontae, especially playing, he's got to be worth a look there.
Pitts is 10-1. Sills is 60. Parkinson's 11. Ferguson's 20. Davis Allen, 23. I bet Kramer's going to have the tight ends.
Bijan,
you know, Bijan's only 6. Corum's 11. And Mumfield, he did it. He did in a London game.
Yeah.
Mumfield 17-1.
All right. Well, let's not do the Kramer yet till we get the sounder. So we'll do that probably in the next segment here. Although I'm looking at who he gave out. He loves betting the defenses to score first in games, and he did not have the Bears last night.
Oh, can you believe that? First play of the game.
I'm just like, here we go again.
He bounced, but he wasn't affected.
Not at all.
That guy has got all right, on to the next. He's like a closer, gives up a home run. All right, no big deal.
I think that Ravens game on Christmas Day a couple of years ago scared him straight. He's just got to, because that game, it was once he threw his first pick, it was all downhill. And after that, he's like, okay, now I'm not going to be fazed by that. Our in-pocket plays coming up, and we'll get into, again, Ryan Kramer's first touchdown scores for the game tonight next year. And Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10-1. You're up.
All right. You know it. God, country, core, Army money line. They got up to an 8.5-point favorite. Pounded UConn in the Fenway Bowl to start Saturday. Saints, winner. Chargers, money line, loser. Weird game. There was a good tweet about, did someone let the Chargers know the game starts at 1:30? 14-0 right off the bat. Two bombs that they allowed. And boy, how about Dicker letting us down?
Oh, my God,
did
he ever.
The most accurate game. That was a typical Charger loss. And it's so tough being a Charger fan that they can play for the division, they can improve their seed, and they lose as the most accurate kicker misses an extra point and a short field goal. Gadsden has the drop that results in an interception, and they also had another key drop as well. How'd they lose that game?
It's like they're jinxed, whatever word you want to call it, cursed, because that's a game that you thought that when Harbaugh came in was going to get like wiped away. No more of that crap, right? Because it happened for years under previous regimes. And for it to up again in that spot was so surprising. Dicker doesn't miss. What was the extra point?
Not even close.
Oh, my God. He missed it by 30 yards, I think.
Yeah. Yes. So both teams to make a 33-yard field goal was a loser. But Fairbairn delivers again.
Oh, he always delivers.
26-3 overrun. Playoffs included going back. Every game is cashed this year but one. And he missed a 50-yarder against Jacksonville. It'd be perfect on the season. Over 1.5. Patriots, first half, ice cream. Pounded the Jets. Rivers did not get there over passing yards. Good job by Jacksonville. So that was a loser. Myers over 1.5. He's been great. He had two long field goals in the win against Carolina. And he was graded a winner. Longest made field goal of that game as well. As he hit from 48. Friday, we'll go service academies again, who are on a 19-3 ATS run going back in bowls. As Brad Power said with us Friday, maximum effort, no opt-outs. God, country, core. That's up to 7 against Cincinnati, late 4 with Navy. Tonight, Monday Night Football, the final time we dance. Pitt's over 54.5 receiving yards. Cousins loves them. Cooper Flagg has been on fire. Now, they have jacked up his assists now because he kept going over. So tonight against Portland, I'm looking at assists and rebounds over. That is 11.5 combined. Flag has been awesome. Nacua, I'll lay the extra juice. Casey has like a 3-yard catch. Puka to have a catch every quarter, $1.40. And at Caesars, Will Hill. Williams and Robinson to have 5 yards rushing each quarter, 3-1. And I don't mind, Sills is only $1.10 to have 10 yards tonight. Come on. Cousins loves them. They got a great rapport. Good luck, everyone.
All right. Action from the weekend here. Clemson, Penn State under 48.5.
Piece of cake.
That was a good one. I thought I was going to have a winner as well.
What was the fake punt off the bat, Dabo? Did you see that?
I didn't even watch. I watched none of the game.
On the first drive, they come out and they go nowhere. And they try a fake punt where the punter throws it. And they're not even on the same page. And it's not even close. Come on. You worked on that for 2 weeks? Terrible.
I thought this was going to be a winner as well. Let me run down how this was a loser. Giants Raiders under 41.5. The Raiders went 3-for-3 on fourth downs before eventually scoring a touchdown. And on the ensuing kickoff, the Giants returned the kickoff for a TD. 20-3, turned into 27-10 before he could blink based on both of those scenarios unfolding. Still had a little bit of life. And then all the Giants had to do on fourth down near the goal line was kick a field goal to win 30-10. Instead, nope, they go for it. Dart runs it in to go over. That one sucked, losing that yesterday. No fun. I'll point out a couple of things tonight to watch for before I get to my official play. I don't think you can find Liam McNeely props for the Charlotte Hornets, the rookie from UConn. He's up from the G League. That's based on Con Knepel is injured, and he's going to miss this game. McNeely had 27 last game for the Greensboro Swarm of the NBA G League. I looked a lot today. I couldn't find him. If you can, I'm curious what a point prop would be on him. And also, I wanted to point out, I was going to fire on Evan Mobley. Did you know that Evan Mobley is 22-3 over 13.5 points on the year. That's his prop for tonight, minus 120. Here's the deal. Back two games now since injury. He played minutes, and he scored over that number on Christmas Day. Then it was dialed back a little bit last game. He only scored 4 points. And they don't... I'm a little still torn about how much usage he's going to get in tonight's game. Coming off the bench. So I didn't make it a bet. Although, man, that really sticks out. Also, 21-4 over 24.5 PRA on the year. RJ Barrett played his first game yesterday since November 23rd. He had 23 PRA. He's 16-2 over 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists on the year. The number for tonight. But it's a back-to-back. How many minutes will he get? Here is an official play. And he's now one of the short shots to win Sixth Man of the Year. Here's the rub. Anthony Black has been starting recently for the Orlando Magic based on injuries. And the beauty is, he's taken a ton of threes. In his last three games, 8 attempts, 7 attempts, and 11 attempts. Makes 4, 4, and 7 last game. Over 1.5 made threes tonight for Black, minus 108. So let's go to war with him, and hopefully he can knock out two of those bad boys for us tonight in the game.
VSiN's live all New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Full regular programming both days. VSiN by the book, 7 a.m., rolling through a numbers game. Prop points, money moves, follow the money, cashing out deep into the night. Counting down 2026, kick off the new year. We'll be right here with your real-time betting coverage. We're live on the air during the Rose Bowl. Spend your New Year's with VSiN, the nonstop home for sports bettors. See you then. Also, the Fremont Street Experience, ringing 2026. Robin Thicke and CeeLo. 6 live concerts, 3 stages. Robin Thicke, I loved your dad. Alan Thicke, Dr. Jason Seaver on Growing Pains.
Oh, he was awesome.
On ABC.
Did you ever see the Robin Thicke video with Miley Cyrus, MTV Awards show?
Yeah.
And he was married to Paula Patton at the time. She was in Mission Impossible 4. Loved her. Blurred Lines.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah,
was that risque?
That model's in there. Phenomenal. What's her name? Ah, come on. She's in the Gone Girl movie with Affleck. She's a beautiful.
Not Rosamund Pike. No, she's not the
no,
model.
No.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The famous model. She's eccentric.
I know you're talking about.
Boy, I'll tell
you. Kelly Kapowski? What's her name?
Kelly Kapowski. I'll tell you, it was a different time in the 80s. And in 1987, at the age of 40, Alan Thicke began dating 17-year-old Christy Swanson. They were engaged but never married.
17 years old. good to go. Nothing to see here.
1987. What kind of an opera? Oh, boy.
I want you to call it right now. Who wins Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Shuck.
Man, they're going to give it to him if he plays 10 games.
Assuming Henderson doesn't go off against Miami.
Okay. Who wins Offensive Player of the Year?
JSN.
This is an incredible race it's turned into.
Yeah, McCaffrey's got a case.
If Nakua, put it this way, if Nakua has a night tonight.
What's a night?
Well, if he has
120 in a score?
Yeah, he can easily surpass JSN in yards. He already has more catches. And with one touchdown, he'll catch him on the year. So we could come in tomorrow on the show, and Nakua could have better numbers across the board than JSN. Yeah. I don't know how you deny that, but McCaffrey's a guy that is, is he lingering out
Saturday
there.
Saturday night's huge.
It is. Saturday night's main event.
It is.
Off the top rope, one of these guys will come. And then coach of the year, who is it? Call it.
Regardless of the outcome Saturday night, I have to give it to Shanahan.
All right.
Yep. Yeah.
I think you're onto something there.
Too many injuries. To be in this position, how the offenses continue to work.
Kittle missing again last night.
Mac Jones.
Yep. Bosa out from week one. Warner out pretty much, at least half the year. Mac Jones playing half the season. Kittle missing at least 6 games. No Ayuk the entire time. Pearsall missed how many games?
Who plays in the Super Bowl?
Holy smokes. Rams, Jaguars.
All right, a rematch.
Would you take that Super Bowl?
That's not bad. We'll do more of this later. I don't want to see Denver. That would really hurt for props.
You know what? Let's get it going right now.
I don't want to see Denver.
We'll kick this around tomorrow. Who do you want to see in the Super Bowl? And which team or teams do you absolutely not want to see in that game? Just get them out. We've seen too much of them, or you think it would be a bad game. And then I think we have a number of combinations that would... make it a fantastic game.
Yes. There are some teams you don't want to see, though. No doubt.
Yep. All right, we're hanging out for another half an hour. Murray, humans, VSiN primetime. Then they're going to get into the game live betting-wise. Catching out with Dustin's a little bit later on tonight. And then wake up tomorrow morning, VSiN by the books at David Jensen, 7 a.m. Eastern. Good luck with the bets tonight.